Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take your phone calls and more. Great to have Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson with us for the full hour here this morning on Montana Talks. Attorney General Austin Knutson, I'll tell you what, given all of the recent events here in our country, I'll tell you what, it was such an honor yesterday to be amongst some great Americans. I got to be at the Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner in Lake County, and got to sit next to your good friends, the Andy and Sheila Larson from Skinner Sights down in St. Ignatius. So it's always good to be amongst some great Americans during some troubled times like these our country has been facing.
Andy and Sheila are two of the best people that I know. They're wonderful, wonderful Montanans. I'm glad you got to spend some time with them, Aaron, because we definitely could all use some good fellowship right now.
That's right. That's right. Well, a whole bunch of topics we're going to cover with you here this morning. First, though, your just reactions to the loss of this great American patriot, Charlie Kirk. TheFederalist.com had a headline earlier this morning that caught my eye. 100 million people all over the world got to hear this message yesterday during, really, it wasn't a funeral. This was, as Representative Braxton Mitchell described it, a revival.
Well, it's such a strange time right now. I mean, I think the country's in a tough spot, Aaron, where we've devolved back to where we've been in past history, where we don't like what someone is saying. And so we're going to assassinate them because of the words he's saying. I mean, that's just barbaric. And it's complete antithetical to America, to who we are, to the First Amendment, all those things. So this is a troubling time right now. The good news is I think it galvanized a lot of people. I think it's shining a lot of light on the radical left. I mean, they've got problems over there. There's genuine issues. I mean, this is stuff you don't see on the right. You don't see heinous acts like this coming from the right. This is becoming a thing that we see more and more common on the radical ideological left. But what an amazing service down there, and what an amazing memorial to an amazing young man. I never got the opportunity to meet Charlie. I was around him a couple times at a couple different events, but never actually got to meet him in person. So I do have that regret.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is going to be a turning point for America to turn us in even further into the right direction, especially as we approach America's 250th birthday, and hopefully to keep this country a free republic for another 250 years. Well, lots of topics to get to here with Attorney General Austin Knutson, from protecting the Second Amendment at the U.S. Supreme Court on down to the dangerous drugs, some of the new trends he's spotting here in Montana. We'll get to that and more. Plus, we'll take your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Back right after this.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I was going to start with a caller there. We had Bill and Billings on the phone lines, but it looks like we lost him during the break there. So, Bill, call back in if you want to jump in on the conversation here with Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. Obviously, I've got a whole list of topics ready to chat with the Attorney General about, but, hey, this show is for you, and this is your opportunity to get to jump in on the conversation as well. 406-294-0970. Attorney General Austin Knutson, before we jump into these Supreme Court cases that you're actively involved in right now, just give us your take, because you helped lead the fight against the Biden regime when they were opening up our borders and flooding this state with illegal aliens, flooding this state with dangerous drugs coming in from the drug cartels in Trinidad, Aragua, thugs. And kind of like the point you were making in the opening segment there, they're doubling down on the left. I mean, you've got two Missoula City Council members who are part of this this group that's trying to defund the police in Missoula. The Western Montana News has that story out right now. And then we're seeing doxing and even death threats against our Border Patrol agents in Northwest Montana. And so it just seems like the radical left is only further doubling down, even right here in Montana.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts there, Aaron. I mean, first of all, obviously, illegal behavior is going to be cracked down on. I mean, we're not going to tolerate attacks against law enforcement. This is a pro-law enforcement state. We always have been. I hope we always are. But Montanans don't stand for law enforcement being attacked. So I'm not sure what these knotheads are thinking about trying to attack Border Patrol, especially when you look at what we've been dealing with for the last 4 years under Joe Biden. And Aaron, like, for me, this isn't theoretical. I mean, here at the Department of Justice, we've been dealing with an onslaught of Mexican cartel fentanyl, Mexican cartel methamphetamine, car fentanyl, but also violence. I mean, these people have been coming up here into Montana illegally. We've got cartel members, confirmed cartel members and affiliates working in Montana, trafficking guns, trafficking drugs, trafficking children. I mean, these are horrible, horrible people. And you've got these morons up there who are attacking Border Patrol. Well, it seems like they're a little wrong-headed here. But the other thought I have is, you know, we've seen the Democrat Party and the liberals in Montana just move further and further left. I'm gonna paraphrase who I think is one of the most effective U.S. senators in the country right now, John Kennedy from Louisiana, when he said, when your enemy is kicking their own rear end, they stay out of the way and let them do it. I think you're just going to see this state keep moving further and further to the right while the Democrat Party in Montana keeps doubling down on these crazy left-wing wild ideas.
Yeah, I was on that same point. I was listening on my way back from Ronan for the Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner in Lake County. I was listening to the final chapter of Jack Posobiec's book about the radical left and about the Marxist movements of the past and of the current. And he said, you always see this with left-wing movements. He said, the snake starts to eat itself. And that's certainly what we've been seeing even here in Montana. All right, switching tracks. You know, it's interesting. The very same people that will attack Border Patrol agents, attack ICE agents, that want to defund the police, they will defend the criminals. But yet they're the same people that want to take away the gun rights of law-abiding American citizens. AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, he is their Second Amendment correspondent. He had this a few days ago. 27 states ask the U.S. Supreme Court basically to recognize that the Second Amendment protects plus 10 magazines. That's just one of the battles you're leading back at the United States Supreme Court when it comes to Second Amendment rights.
Well, Aaron, we've talked about this before. I mean, you and I have known each other for years. I'm a shooter. I'm a gun guy. This is one that I take very, very personally. Montana sits in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And right now we are leading two amicus briefs trying to get the U.S. Supreme Court to take up two really bad legal decisions that came out of the Ninth Circuit. This is the most liberal circuit appeals court in the country. You have Washington State and now California State both try to pass legislation that says you cannot own magazines that hold more than 10 rounds in a firearm. Well, first of all, they are so commonplace now. There's barely a manufacturer out there that makes less than a 10-round magazine. In fact, you know, most standard law enforcement issue sidearms and rifles hold well over 10 rounds. Okay. So, regardless of how you feel about that, you've got a couple of Supreme Court cases that have said, in order to restrict the Second Amendment, there has to be reasonable historic precedent for doing so. And the good news is there's very little historic precedent for any legitimate government reason to restrict the Second Amendment. We're asking the U.S. Supreme Court to step in here because these two states just absolutely got it wrong. And the Ninth Circuit, I mean, again, as they always do, they come in on bonk and they reverse the lower panel and try to torture the Second Amendment. And they literally argue that, well, We're not restricting firearms. We're restricting the magazine that goes in the firearm. Totally different. And it's just a flagrant violation of the Bruin decision. It's a flagrant violation of the Heller decision. These firearms don't work without a magazine. These magazines are widely, widely used. And the bottom line is, they don't. These large capacity magazines don't contribute to higher rates of crime. That's been debunked scientifically for decades now. But it's a talking point on the left that they just keep using. And we're going to keep fighting against this kind of garbage.
All right, Attorney General Austin Knutson, hold that thought. Quick break here on Montana Talks. Back with more right after this.
Did you know? Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we talked about one Supreme Court case at the United States Supreme Court level that Attorney General Austin Knutson is taking the lead on. There's another case up at the United States Supreme Court. In fact, I think he and his Solicitor General will be traveling back to Washington, D.C. to the United States Supreme Court. For arguments in another case. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But first, let's sneak on one of your phone calls. If you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970. We've got Terry in Marion listening to KJJR. Terry, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
I have a question for Attorney General Knutson. And, you know, and I own a small business here in the state, an archery business. And, you know, I'm, an advocate for, you know, public lands and some of the easements that we do here in the state. And I've always wanted to ask why you continuously vote against these easements.
All right. Thanks for the question, Attorney General Austin Knutson. Your thoughts?
I don't. Terry, you can go back and look at some of the land board votes. I mean, there's a number of those I have supported. The bottom line for some of the ones that I have not supported, it's got nothing to do with public access. It's got nothing to do with whether I agree with hunting. I absolutely do. I'm a public land hunter. Have been my whole life. I've never once shot an elk on private ground. The problem I have is legally a perpetual easement. I mean, forever is a long time. And I really question the constitutionality under our state constitution for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks' legal ability to enter into a perpetual, forever conservation easement. I think that's a program that's been abused. I think there's a lot of legal questions about whether we should be doing that. I think just as a fiduciary, I think there's a problem potentially with the state doing that. So it's got nothing to do with hunting. Like I said, I'm a public land hunter. I've hunted elk on public land in southwestern Montana since I was 15 years old. Got nothing to do with whether or not I support public access.
Well, in fact, frankly, that's why you're such a respected voice at the SHOT Show every year for over a decade now. And it's because and why you're taking the lead on as the Attorney General, taking the lead on so many of these United States Supreme Court cases as well. Not only are you a gun guy, you're an outdoors guy through and through. All right, let's sneak on another a couple of quick callers here before we get to the other topics. David Noble, nice surprise phone call here from our friend David Noble, who guest hosts the show from time to time. David, great to hear from you. Did you have a quick question or comment for the AG?
I did. I just wanted to say thank you, Mr. Attorney General, for standing up for the Second Amendment on these high-capacity magazines. I think you make some great points about the fact that there's no historic precedent for the government to try to restrict the number of rounds we can put in the magazine. And number two, these are common usage. But for me, I believe in an individual American citizen's right to own a high-capacity magazine in and of itself. Forget about the lack of historical precedent. You know, forget about the constitutional arguments. I believe as citizens we have the right to have a high-capacity magazines because maybe the terrorists do. Maybe some of these illegal aliens that happen to be terrorists that Biden let in. Maybe a tyrannical force does. And I need a 30-round magazine for my rifle, semi-automatic rifle. I need a 60-round mag. So I just want to say, you know, fantastic to hear the Attorney General of Montana leading that effort, and fantastic to hear such a full-throated defense of the Second Amendment right. And as a citizen of Montana and as a constituent, I wanted to say thank you.
Hey, well said there by David Noble, as always. Yeah, A.G. Knutson, you know, to add to the list that David threw out there, we've got these trans-Tifa terrorists, like the one that assassinated Charlie Kirk, and they are only showing, and the violent rhetoric embracing and celebrating violence against people they disagree with is on the rise. I think everybody out there, we're not going to live in fear, but we're also not going to live unprotected either.
Oh, absolutely, and thanks for the call, David. I appreciate it, and you're absolutely right. It is an individual right. I mean, the bottom line is, cops don't fit in your pocket.
Three minute stations.
We lived in a world where we don't have to have individuals carrying arms, but unfortunately, we don't live in that utopia. We have bad people out there doing bad things to good people. And this is a very, very rural state, long time, especially out in eastern Montana, where I'm from. A sheriff deputy is probably a long ways away. And it's a fact that armed citizens do often have to step up and have to defend themselves or others. That's just an unfortunate fact. So I think that those people should have the right to be armed, no different than a law enforcement officer would be. I don't understand this idea that it's okay for law enforcement to have these things, but not standard civilians.
Well, and law enforcement officers, like fellow Montana Shooting Sports Association member Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, would tell you that as well. He's like, look, we may be first responders, but we are not the immediate responders, which is why he's come up with this comprehensive school security plan for Cascade County right now, so that they have good guys with guns or gals already in these schools, and a quick alert system to be able to get the first responders there as soon as possible as well. All right, Steve and Ballantyne, and then we'll get to some other topics here with the Attorney General. Steve, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Well, this is just the Second Amendment, okay, the stats years ago, that I heard years ago, that you can have as many around magazines as you want. It's always the first shot that does the damage, generally. And there's more crime committed, you know, death and stuff, done by a little 22 caliber rifle than any other rifles. That was the stats years ago. You know, they just flat don't want us to have our guns. They keep going after Second Amendment. And just to fit their narrative, look at what Charlie. I mean, it was Grandpa's 30-06 with a 4-round in the magazine and one in the chamber. You could do 5 total if you wanted to. It was one shot, and it was done by a game rifle. We didn't hear one peep about gun control or anything taking our guns away during all that issue. They just flat do not want us to have our guns, plain and simple. And they're going to attack the Second Amendment as much as they want to.
Well, they were mocking Charlie Kirk after this assassination. They were mocking him, basically claiming that because he supported the Second Amendment, that somehow he deserved to be mocked when he was killed. It's just part of the sickening response that we've seen. All right, Attorney General Austin Knutson, any thoughts more on that up front before we get to some other topics here?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. You make some great points there. But look, we can point back to actual data and show that these high-capacity magazine limits don't work because we've done them in the past. Let's go back to 1994. The Brady Bill was passed by the U.S. Congress. It passed by one vote in the U.S. Senate. Al Gore had to break the tie, and Bill Clinton signed that into law. We tried this for 10 years. What did it do? Well, it made high-capacity magazines cost a whole bunch of money because all the ones in circulation were grandfathered in. So suddenly, high-capacity magazines, the price of them went through the roof. But aside from that, empirically, it did nothing to the violent crime rate. Violent crime did not drop after the Brady ban. It limited certain types of magazines. It limited certain types of firearms. It limited certain types of accessories because that's what liberals want with their feelings, and it didn't work. So, Steve, you're spot on.
And now Stan in Roundup has a very good question. So Stan in Roundup, stand by. Definitely want to get to your phone call here in just a second. But first, Attorney General Austin Knutson, we talked about how you filed the opening brief in this Supreme Court case Well, actually, no, we talked about, you know, this other 27-state coalition that you've been leading when it comes to our Second Amendment rights with regard to magazines, et cetera. But coming up pretty soon, you and, as I understand it, your Solicitor General are going to be heading back before the United States Supreme Court in another case. And you're saying that, ironically enough, this is a case that the Montana Supreme Court actually got right for a change.
That's exactly right, Aaron. So I do everything I can to not go to Washington, D.C. I hate that city. I don't like being there. I'm hoping it's a little better now that the president has brought in the National Guard and cleaned it up. But, yeah, we're going to go back. My Solicitor General, Christian Corrigan, brilliant legal mind. We had a case here that came out of Anaconda back in 2021 where we had reports of an armed individual barricaded inside of a house, danger to himself, possibly committing suicide. But we had a lot of questions that we didn't know. So what happened there is law enforcement, based upon the facts and circumstances in that case, they entered the home in an attempt to make sure that this individual was safe, but that no one else was being threatened or injured. They entered that house. This guy actually came out of a closet. He was hiding in a closet, and when he came out of the closet, he saw the police. He decided to be a real brainiac and point his gun at law enforcement. Well, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I mean, this guy obviously got the proper response, and law enforcement shot him. He survived, was taken into custody, and was charged with assault on a police officer because that's what that is. He has now claimed that his conviction should be overturned because law enforcement did not have a search warrant to enter his house. We are actually arguing that the Supreme Court here in Montana got this one right. There were exigent circumstances. There are exceptions to the Fourth Amendment. This was one of them. We had an emergency. We had an individual who was a threat to himself, possibly others. So we're going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court in about 3 weeks, and we're going to argue that the Montana Supreme Court actually got one right. And this is a good pro-law enforcement ruling that we're hoping stands.
Yeah, this one seems pretty clear-cut that law enforcement did the right thing here, and they did what needed to be done. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting one to follow here coming up in just a what, 3 weeks? All right, well, we got to take a very quick break here, and then Stan in Roundup, you'll be first up right after the break. Actually, Stan, do you have a quick question before we go to the break? It may only take 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think it will. Good morning, Aaron and Mr. Knutson. Hey, I'm a permit carrier. You've been for years. My question is, Mr. Knutson, do you think in the future we will ever see federal reciprocity? And I'll let you go with that. I'll take it off the air.
Hey, there you go. All right, we'll start with that question right after this. Thanks for the call.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
All right, so there we go.
On Thursday, the United States Senate confirmed three nominees for critical positions at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The nominees included were part of a package of 48 sub-candidate-level nominees, all whom received bipartisan support when they were considered by their respective committees. The final confirmation vote on the package and nominees was 51-47. The three USDA nominees include Richard Fordyce to serve as the Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Dudley Hoskins to serve as the Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, and Scott Hutchins to serve as the Undersecretary of Agriculture for Research, Education, and Economics. In other USDA news, the Department of Interior and USDA have announced the coordinated action to create the U.S. Wildland Fire Service to modernize wildfire management nationwide. Fire seasons are longer, fire intensity increasing, and suppression and recovery costs are soaring. The Department of Interior has issued Secretarial Order 3443, which directs the establishment of the U.S. Wildland Fire Service with a plan for the implementation to occur in January 2026. USDA also released its own memorandum that outlines plans to modernize and strengthen America's wildfire prevention and response system. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That came in on the Montana Talks app here. Evan in Belt has this. It's not the capacity of the magazine or the gun that kills people. If it were, Erica Kirk would have forgiven these inanimate objects. No, it is people that kill people, but some of these leftist communists won't admit that. All done in an attempt to control us. And if their ruling class ever gets control, the rest of their idiotic minions will also be controlled by these communists. How stupid is that? That is from Evan in Belt. Let's see. Mark in Roberts says several communities around America are seeing an influx of Islamic progressives. And then he basically says, you know, what can we do to ensure that this does not happen in Montana, where you get these Islamic neighborhoods take over control of entire communities and then try to enforce Sharia law? I think the legislature has already effectively banned something like that from taking place. But Attorney General Austin Knutson is a former Montana Speaker of the House, so he could weigh in on that one for us. And then this came in from Hank in Bozeman. Why does the Gallatin County attorney require help from the state to prosecute capital crimes now? The former county attorney, Marty Lambert, didn't require assistance from the state. That came from Hank in Bozeman. A.G. Knutson, before we get to those questions, Stan and Roundup had a great one. Do you think we'll ever get to the point where we will have federal reciprocity for constitutional carry, basically for concealed carry permits? Could we ever get to the point where we get federal reciprocity all across the country? It just makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yes, I think we should. I do think it is possible. I think when you've got good conservatives in the legislature, in the Congress in D.C. like we've got now, especially our state delegation. You know, we had a senator who came home and talked pretty conservative for a while, but he'd go back to D.C. and he'd vote with Chuck Schumer against that kind of stuff. We've now got Senator Tim Sheehy, solid Second Amendment conservative. We've got, obviously, Congressman Ryan Zinke, solid Second Amendment conservative. Congressman Troy Downing, freshman, doing a fantastic job, my buddy Troy. He's a rock-ribbed Second Amendment conservative, and obviously Senator Steve Daines, I mean, no question where he's at in the Second Amendment, super conservative, solid on that stuff. So I think it absolutely is possible. We've got a president now who's got a son that, you know, he's no slouch for the firearm either. Don Jr. knows his way around that stuff, and he's a big gun guy. But I think this just makes sense. We're ensuring that folks can exercise their Second Amendment rights across state lines. To me, that makes a ton of sense, because just as a guy who does concealed carry, it's a pain having to check, you know, as I'm traveling around, like, well, okay, can I come into the state? Do I have to leave it and disarm myself, not be able to protect my family? Those are the considerations that I and a lot of people have in this country. So I think it's absolutely the right thing to do, and I think it can get done.
You mentioned Donald Trump Jr. Of course, he's been back here to Montana hunting several times. There was a moment of levity during that Charlie Kirk celebration of life yesterday when Donald Trump Jr. was speaking. And now I got to play this soundbite just because it was pretty funny to see this moment of levity. And then they did a split screen where even President Trump himself was kind of looking down at Don Jr. and smiling and laughing and nodding his head as well.
I'm not widely known for being a sentimental guy. Anyone who's seen me on social media knows I'm far more likely to crack a joke or get myself in trouble for posting some grossly inappropriate memes than I am to shed a tear. I know this because I've even gotten the call from that guy a couple of times. You know, Don, you're getting a little aggressive on social media, Don. Relax.
Anyway, A.G. Knutson, I don't know if you saw that part, but, you know, when Donald Trump has to tell you to tone it down on social media, that's telling you something, huh?
Yeah, it really is. But I think that's true. I think that's that was probably much needed at that event, but I think that's definitely probably some bragging rights there for John Jr. when the flamethrower-in-chief has to tell you to turn it down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, he, you know, Don Jr. loves to shoot prairie dogs back here in Montana. And when I was talking with Andy Larson down in Ronan yesterday, he was telling me about how much fun you guys had shooting prairie dogs here recently. And I was like, rub it in, Andy. Rub it in. Rub it in. But one of these days, we'll make it happen, too. All right, moving on to some of the other big topics. Oh, what's your take? Hank in Bozeman asked a question. Why does the Gallatin County attorney require help from the state to prosecute capital crimes now? Is that kind of a new development, or what's the deal there?
Well, you got a new Gallatin County attorney down there, and frankly, she's had a bit of a hard time. You know, I try not to be too critical. I've had some issues with the Gallatin County attorney, some of the decisions she's made. Frankly, some of the things she's chosen to stick her nose into, and I'm gonna point specifically to our state cooperation with ICE. We were trying to find a spot to put ICE detainees, you know, pursuant to due process, we have to put suspected illegals that are suspected being in the country illegally in federal detention for about 24 to 36 hours before we can get them in front of a federal immigration judge. Again, I thought we liked due process. The Gallatin County attorney decided to stick her nose in the middle of that and convince the county commissioners not to let ICE use the Bozeman jail. Which was a perfect central location for us to use. So she got a little sideways with me on that one. I've questioned some of her prosecution decisions, but, you know, generally I try to be respectful of your elected county attorney. So that said, she's had a hard time recruiting lawyers. She's had a hard time keeping lawyers. She's had a lot of lawyers quit that office. Prosecution Services Bureau here in Montana, I mean, it's our job to make sure Montanans are safe and that crimes get prosecuted. So when those counties need assistance, if we can, I don't have a huge army of lawyers, but I do have a group of really, really elite prosecutors. And when we have county attorneys that need help, we're going to make sure that the right thing gets done, regardless of politics. So that's why you've seen us send an help.
Yeah, it seemed like she got off on the right foot, you know, and was going to try to prosecute crimes, look at old cases, see which ones could maybe be prosecuted even still, but then just quickly got derailed and had shown herself to be a radical leftist and fought this agreement that the sheriff had done a great job putting together with ICE. It would have been good for the county financially. It would have been good for crime. And so it's unfortunate to see, because I know, you know, Democrat, Republican, people will disagree, but you would think when it comes to just prosecuting local crimes, that shouldn't be a partisan thing. But unfortunately, in too many cases, it's become that. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, the Cascade County Attorney Josh Rackey just announced that he is leaving the Democrat Party and joining the Republican Party. I've heard great things about him from Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. What did you think about the move there?
Hey, I've known Josh for years. I mean, he's a colleague of mine back when I was a county attorney in Roosevelt County and part of the Montana County Attorneys Association. Josh was the former president of the County Attorneys Association. He's a very respected, very capable, very accomplished prosecutor in the state. It's great to see these folks that, you know, the conventional wisdom with both Josh, with Sheriff Slaughter is like, well, we're in Great Falls, we're in Cascade County. We have to run as a Democrat in order to get elected. I think it's a testament to what's happening in the state. Montana is moving to the right. When you're seeing what was historically a union Democrat stronghold like Great Falls, like Cascade County, moving to the right, to where you've got elected officials that are finally comfortable enough to say, hey, you know what? I don't believe in this crazy nonsense. I can't get on board with this stuff. I actually, the party has left me. And I'm a conservative, and I'm willing to say it now. So fantastic to see stuff like that coming out of Cascade County, and congratulations to Josh Rackey.
Yeah, great to hear your thoughts there, because, you know, it just seemed like, you know, two or three years ago, if somebody would announce they were leaving the Democrat Party to become a Republican, everybody would cheer it and be like, oh, wow, that's incredible. But now, you know, many on our side are like, well, wait a minute, I don't know. And so on this one, I was like, guys, I think you can trust this one here. And so that hearing from Sheriff Slaughter, hearing from you, I think that's another message to say, hey, this one's a good one here in Cascade County. All right, what about this the dangers of this commercially sold opioid. I saw this press release earlier this month. 7-OH is this commercially sold opioid. Anyway, we're going to talk about kratom coming up right after this, because I know, Attorney General Knutson, you know a thing or two about kratom. And I think, again, we need to separate the two here. There's a difference between kratom that you might see at, say, like a local kava bar in Billings, compared to this synthetic 7-OH, which is basically synthetically made kratom. Anyway, we'll talk about that more with Attorney General Austin Knutson right after this.
Dreaming of a...
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I've been starting to see a lot more news stories about kratom. And even on the High Line, I think our friends in Malta, there's been a big debate over kratom and should kratom be legal? Should there be new regulations put in place against kratom? So Attorney General Austin Knutson and I, yeah, we both have a friend, Tooney Raffaele, great guy. And Tooney, you know, he's Hawaiian. And so it's kava is, it's kind of like a tea. And so you're starting to see the increased popularity of these kava bars, where it's basically like a tea, like a relaxing tea. And so, but they'll also have kava at, or they'll also have kratom at some of these kava bars as well. And one of the benefits I've seen of these kava bars and these kratom bars is for people that are, you know, trying to stay away from alcohol. You know, they're alcoholics who are trying to stay away from alcohol. This is a place for them to go and people to just relax in a non-alcohol environment. And so that's a really good thing. But anyway, Attorney General Austin Knutson, when I saw this press release about 7-OH, I didn't realize that that was actually referring to kava. However, it's referring to synthetic kava, or synthetic kratom, I'm sorry, not kava, synthetic kratom. And so break down, you know, is there a concern with kratom? I've heard the jury's kind of out on kratom. That's at least what I've picked up from some of the folks out there. But kava, they say that's good to go. Kratom, yeah, you know, we'll see. Who knows? But it's the synthetic kratom. That's where the danger is right now, right?
Yeah, you got that exactly right. So I want to make really clear. Kava and kratom, two separate things. Two separate plants,
yep.
two different molecules. What we're concerned about is kratom. And not even the natural kratom. So what is kratom? Kratom is a plant that grows in Southeast Asia. And for millennia, the leaves have been brewed. They have a very, very mild, relaxing effect. It's used as a tea. Been used for medicinal purposes, literally for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Okay, that's not what we're talking about, because there are legitimate kratom products out there, including at our friend Tooney's place there in Billings. What we're seeing, Aaron, is more and more synthetic kratom, more and more concentrate. Well, why do we care? We care because this molecule is called 7-OH, and don't ask me to use the actual chemical compound name. I didn't do well in school enough to give you that, but 7-OH is the molecule. It's an opioid. It responds to Narcan, okay? Some of these synthetic kratom derivatives are ultra high concentrated and are more powerful than morphine. They're completely unregulated. Kratom and 7-OH, and again, I'm going to differentiate between the two. I'm talking synthetic 7-OH, is not on a federal drug schedule anywhere. It's not on a state drug schedule in Montana. So it's wide open. It's the Wild West in Montana. To be able to walk in, and we see these at a lot of convenience stores in Montana. We see it in vape shops in Montana. Unregulated, usually coming from foreign countries, highly concentrated, very powerful 7-OH derivatives. I was just talking to a restaurant owner in Great Falls who told me he's having a real problem with his kitchen staff being addicted to 7-OH. And this is a real problem. Well, Aaron, that's like being addicted to prescription painkillers. It literally is the same molecule. Mm. It's hydrocodone. It's
and there's been a lot of overdoses from this 7-OH across the state already, right?
There have. I mean, so since 2020, we've recorded 29 confirmed. That's the 29 that we know about confirmed deaths from 7-OH overdose. And again, that's like overdosing on morphine. We don't sell morphine over the counter. Some of these synthetic derivatives that you can walk into a vape shop in Montana and buy, they're actually like 60 times more powerful than morphine. Wrap your head around that, folks.
Wow. I mean, so with about a minute or so to go here, Attorney General Austin Knutson, what can the state do right now? I can see where the legislature, hey, don't ban kratom, but when it comes to this 7-OH, you got to do something about it. Your thoughts, what do we do about a minute to go?
I think that's exactly the answer. You just nailed it. So first of all, I think we're going to see the feds likely put this on a drug schedule. The Food and Drug Administration at the federal level is already talking about this. There's a ton of science out there. I think it's justified. Here in Montana, it's going to take the legislature. It's not an authority that I have or DPHHS has. It's going to take the legislature to put it on a drug schedule here in Montana. And again, I think we got to differentiate between natural kratom and these wild, crazy imported synthetics and concentrates.
That's a good point, because I could see where somebody would think that, oh, well, it says it's kratom, and I know about kratom from over there, so it's got to be fine, it's got to be okay. Well, no. What you just picked up off the store shelf was a totally different synthetic-made product that is, yeah, totally different story altogether. So you can see why some people are ending up in a world of hurt right now. Attorney General Austin Knutson, appreciate your time. Thanks for taking all the phone calls and more here on the show. Great to have you.
Always good to be on, Aaron. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks for the time. Ran out of time today, which is too bad. I saw we had Grandpa Lou call in here just before we ran out of time. And by the way, I saw a great photo of Grandpa Lou having dinner with our friend Kat out of Eastern Montana over the weekend. So that was a great photo.